I'd like to ask you to turn in your Bibles tonight to 1 Peter. I would like to read from 1 Peter chapter 3. The Word of God talks a lot about the eyes of the Lord. Many times the Scripture speaks of the eyes of the Lord. It also speaks of the ears of the Lord. The Scripture speaks of the face of the Lord, speaks of the finger work of God, speaks of the hand of God, speaks of the arm of the Lord. The Scripture asks this question, to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? The passage that's on my heart tonight speaks about the eyes of the Lord, the ears of the Lord, and the face of the Lord. And I ask you to pray that God will help us as we consider what the Word of God says here in 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, I would like to begin with the 8th verse. 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 8. The Word of God says, and I know that preachers are bad about saying finally or in closing. Peter's not halfway through with this epistle and he says finally. This is less than halfway through. So don't be too critical of preachers that might say in closing or finally and then they go another hour. Just understand that sometimes you think that things are about over and they're not. So he says, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrarywise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil, that is, shun evil, and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. Now listen carefully to verse 12. Verse 12 says, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. I know that we don't want the face of the Lord. We don't want the hand of the Lord. We don't want the finger of the Lord. We don't want anything about God to be against us. We would much rather feel the blessings of God than to feel the judgments of God. And the Scripture here in 1 Peter chapter 3 has set forth the things that, some of the things that we are to do that will result in the eyes of the Lord being over us, that is, in a protective way, and in providing for us. God, his eyes are over his people. The Scripture is not just talking about all of God's children, but rather his eyes are over the righteous. I understand the word righteous here not to have reference to the imputed righteousness of Christ. The imputed righteousness of Christ is that will get us into the eternal heaven when this world is over. The Word of God also talks about a practical righteousness that is a result of us doing the things like Peter has just been talking about. The Word of God teaches us sometimes that as we keep His commandments, it will be righteousness unto us. The Word of God says here that the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, that is, the eyes of the Lord are over those that are trying to live in a way that would please God. God's watching over you, and God's going to bless you, and God's going to take care of you when you're trying to follow the Word of God and live in a way that's righteous before the Lord. So the Scripture says the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears, the Scripture says, His ears are open unto their prayers. That also tells us that there are those that the ears of God will not hear their prayers. The ears of the Lord are open unto those that are righteous, unto those that are fearing God and serving God and obeying God. His eyes are over them, and His ears are open unto them. But the contrast is given in the last part of the verse, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. I want us to go back and begin early in the book of Genesis I want us to go back and see that the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers. But I also want us to see that the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Go with me, please, back to the book of Genesis. Go back all the way to Genesis chapter 6, as God is about to destroy the earth with the flood. Were there many people in the days of Noah, were there many people that would fit into the category of the righteous in the days of Noah? No, there were not. If you look at Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, you'll find the condition of the vast majority of the people was that they were very ungodly. The Word of God says in Genesis chapter 6, beginning in verse 5, the Scripture says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." That is, not only were his actions evil, but his mind and his heart were corrupt, and mankind was living very ungodly. Verse 6 says, "And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them." Now, that's the face of the Lord being against those that do not serve him. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now watch carefully. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. Was Noah a righteous man? Noah was a righteous man. And the text in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12 says that the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And if you go back and study when you get home tonight in Genesis chapter 6, 7, 8, and 9, you'll see that the eyes of the Lord, every time that Noah and his family were doing that was right, God was blessing them and hearing their prayers. But the face of the Lord was against all the rest of the earth, and God sent a flood and destroyed the earth, because when the face of the Lord is against the people, they will perish. They cannot stand. Nobody can stand against the judgment of God. There's no place to hide from the judgment of God. But the eyes of the Lord, in the midst of all the wickedness that was all around Noah and his family, no one else may have cared about Noah, but God cared about Noah, and God took care of Noah. The eyes of the Lord saw Noah, and Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord because Noah was a righteous man. Now go with me to, I want you to turn to 2 Chronicles just a moment. There's a statement in 2 Chronicles chapter 16. In 2 Chronicles chapter 16, there's a statement here about the eyes of the Lord that is a beautiful statement that doesn't just say that his eyes are in one place or in another place. I think one of the most incomprehensible things about God is that God is everywhere present and nowhere absent. All I can do is be in one place at a time. All I can do is look at one thing at a time. But God's eyes are over the entire earth and knows what is going on everywhere in the world at the same time. God's eyes are everywhere. God can see everything. God, not only as I look at you, if I take one person, right now my eyes are focused on Brother David, and I have some peripheral vision. I can tell a few people around you, but the only one I can really give details about is Brother David. God is not like that. God knows everything. I look at Brother David, I can tell you about his physical condition or physical features. I can tell you about his love for God. But listen, God can look at Brother David and see far more than I can see. God can look at me and look at you, and the Scripture says that though man looketh on the outward appearance, where does God look? God looks all the way down to the heart. Now that's important for us to remember about the eyes of the Lord. Because the eyes of men may watch us and say and conclude that's a righteous man, when in reality we're nothing but whited sepulchers. So the eyes of the Lord, remember, the eyes of the Lord search much deeper than our eyes do. In 2 Chronicles, listen carefully to 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9. 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9, the Word of God says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth." It's amazing how God uses words to help us understand what's going on. But it says here that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Does that mean that the eyes of God have little legs and they're just running back and forth throughout the whole earth? Not at all what it's talking about. But it is telling us very plainly that God sees everything all over the earth. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. And here's the purpose of the eyes of the Lord: to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars. But listen, why are the eyes of the Lord over the righteous? Listen carefully. 1 Peter 3:12 says that the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. What is the purpose of the eyes of the Lord being over the righteous? Why does God watch the righteous? The Scripture says here in 2 Chronicles 16:9 that the purpose of his eyes being over the righteous is to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. If your heart is perfect toward God, if you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, the eyes of the Lord are watching you. And he will show himself strong in your behalf when your heart is perfect toward him. When David went against Goliath, brethren, David's heart was perfect toward God. He didn't go out there to fight the giant for any self-recognition. He didn't go out there for glory. He went out there because of his love for God, and he was fed up with the army of God being defied by the enemies of God. And he went out to fight Goliath and he won the battle. The reason he won the battle is because the eyes of the Lord were over the righteous. And David was a righteous man right there. The eyes of the Lord were over David, and God showed himself strong in behalf of David. Has God ever shown himself strong in your behalf? Have there ever been occasions in your life that you needed God's help and that you have cried unto the Lord, and God in a mighty way has come down and has shown himself strong in your behalf? On those occasions when God has come and shown himself strong, and brethren, I believe the Lord delights in showing himself strong. I believe it pleases the Lord to look to and fro and to see someone whose heart is perfect toward him, and he delights in showing himself strong in behalf of those individuals. God will do that for individuals, he'll do it for families, he'll do it for a church, and he'll do it for a nation. Brethren, God saw that in the founding of our nation, we had founding fathers that loved God and feared God and served God. And God saw the righteousness of those people. And God was pleased with them. And God showed himself strong in behalf of the founders of the United States of America. God gave them wisdom like probably no one since Solomon. Other than Jesus Christ, no one since Solomon has had the kind of wisdom that our founding fathers had. In all the battles that we fought, God showed himself strong in our behalf. He showed himself strong because there was a great number of righteous people that God was watching. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. And the Scripture says in 2 Chronicles 16, 9, that he is going, his eyes are going to and fro, that he's looking at us, and he will show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. You know, these little children that are here, I would say that probably little children's hearts are often more perfect toward God than any adult's hearts. I've seen little children that I believe with all of my heart that their hearts were so perfect towards God that God just repeatedly showed himself strong in behalf of those children's lives. The scripture says that a little child shall lead them. And I believe that God has used little children to lead me and to lead you and to lead our families and to help our families. And I ask all of you to pray for these little children. I ask you to recognize that these children are a great blessing to the church. They're not to be worshipped. They're not to be praised. But they are to be recognized as a special gift from God. And we need to know that many of the blessings that we're receiving today could be connected very closely with those dear children whose hearts are perfect toward God. Have you ever seen the simple faith of a child? Do you think children sometimes manifest far more faith than adults? That in their prayer life, they just pray, and you listen to them pray, and they just, it's once they've prayed, you just think, well, they are completely trusting in God. They have totally turned it over to the Lord and have complete confidence. God's going to take care of this problem. Adults sometimes will take their burden to the Lord and then they bring it back and then they go back to the Lord and then they bring it back and then they stop going to the Lord in prayer at all and they just hold on to their problems. But little children are so faithful to go to the Lord in prayer. There are little children that have been praying for people for 6 months and a year that every time they pray, they keep praying for people. Little children that do that. I've known them that have done it in the past. I know them that are doing it right now. They're still, every time they pray, they're praying for people that need God's help in a special way. And the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous to show himself strong in behalf of them whose hearts are perfect toward him. And if we want God to help us in our lives, then we need to get our heart right with God. We need to pray, God, help me. Help me to cleanse my hands and purify my heart so that my heart can be right because I believe what you say in your word that your eyes are over. Your eyes are over the righteous and that your eyes are going to and fro in the earth seeking those whose heart is perfect toward him to show himself strong in behalf of them. One verse of scripture that we all know by heart. We've been talking primarily about the eyes of the Lord. I want to touch on the ears of the Lord. The ears of the Lord. That second part of 1 Peter 3:12, after it says the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, the second part of that verse says, and his ears are open unto their prayers. I want you to think about, there are people who God does hear their prayers. Now, God does not hear all prayers in the sense that he hears and answers all prayers. God doesn't do that. But there are those that God does hear their prayer. One of the verses that everybody in this building knows by heart is 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. Don't turn there. You already know it by heart. But God says there, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. Then will I what? Then will I hear from heaven. What do we have to do before God will hear our prayers? See, the text in 1 Peter 3:12 says, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto whom? Up and unto the righteous. And 2 Chronicles 7:14 tells us if we're not righteous, he tells us what to do to get righteous. And then he says, now if you'll do these things, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive your sin, and I will heal your land. The remedy to the problems in our nation are actually very simple. We are as confounded. I don't believe there's ever been a time in the United States of America where our leaders are as totally confused and confounded as they are today. Have no earthly idea what to do to fix the problem in America. Well, they can't fix the problem. In fact, God has blinded their eyes. And they're confounded. But there's one thing that could happen, and that is if you and I as God's people, if we would humble ourselves And if we would pray and seek His face and turn from our wicked ways, then God will hear from heaven and He would forgive our sin and He would heal our land. In Isaiah chapter 65, the Word of God tells us about the coming of the kingdom of heaven. Isaiah is prophesying the coming of the kingdom of heaven. In Isaiah 65, it tells us about the coming of the New Jerusalem. Isaiah 65, starting in verse 17. Remember now that the kingdom of heaven, or the New Jerusalem, is the kingdom of heaven that God has prepared for His obedient children while they live here in this earth. The kingdom of heaven is prepared for them whose hearts and minds are perfect towards God. In Isaiah chapter 65, Isaiah 65, verse 17, the Word of God says, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth." What did John see in Revelation 21? He saw the same thing that Isaiah prophesied was going to come to pass. Isaiah told us it was going to happen, and John tells us he saw it happening. "Behold, I create a new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem, a rejoicing, and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more in her, nor the voice of crying." What's God telling us is going to happen in this new Jerusalem? He's saying that He's going to heal our wounds. He's going to bind us up, and He's going to lift us up and give us great joy. Come down for the sake of time. Come down to verse 24. We're still in Isaiah chapter 65. Look at verse 24. The Word of God says, "And it shall come to pass that before they call, before the people of God ever call upon Him, before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear." Who? Before who calls? Before those who are in the kingdom of heaven, before they ever call upon God, says, "I will hear them. I will hear, my ears will be open to them." I pray that God will help all of us tonight to realize that there are so many blessings that we can experience. We owe God everything that we have, and we need to be serving God every day of our lives. We need to pray for the Lord to help us to be more faithful to Him in every way. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers. But His face is against them that do evil. May God help us to be faithful, is my prayer, for Christ's sake.